We will cover the latest in state politics in our state capitol report this hour. Our state government reporter Sean Johnson is here with the latest on legislation that's moving through the state legislature, including the passage of voter ID last week. Plus, we'll take a look at what's on tap this week and review the news from the state convention of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May the 23rd. After 7:30, we will welcome in the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Mark Jefferson, who will talk with us, among other things, about the results of a straw poll taken at the GOP convention in Wisconsin Dells on who the convention goers favor for president and for U.S. Senate. We will do a similar program, by the way, following the State Democratic Party convention, which is scheduled to be June 3rd and 4th in Milwaukee. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, was also covering the Republican convention, and we will start with some insights from him. He joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So was it a good time at the Republican convention this weekend?
You know, the speeches, the part that I was there for were pretty brief. So, I mean, I can speak to those. I don't know about the, you know, the party's celebration, et cetera. It's a little different tone than the convention last year, which was election year, so you're going to have a bigger turnout. But they made that more like more of a show last year, whereas this was you know, more people sitting in a convention hall listening to speeches for the portion that I was at.
Yeah. So what were the highlights?
You know, if there was a trend throughout, you heard a number of speakers saying that the nation is watching Wisconsin and the nation is watching what we're doing here. And, you know, among the people who were saying this were Jim Sensenbrenner, who's now Wisconsin's most veteran congressman now that Dave Obey has retired. Paul Ryan, whose plan to change Medicare is obviously very controversial, has gotten a lot of national attention, has gotten him a lot of national attention. And then Scott Walker's collective bargaining plan obviously drew a lot of attention to Wisconsin and continues to as these recall elections proceed forward. And so you had speaker after speaker sort of reference that what we're doing here is important and, you know, going so far as to say that what we're doing in Wisconsin, we, the GOP, will shape the direction of the country.
Yeah. So was there a keynote speaker?
A keynote speaker? I mean, you know, it's funny, Paul Ryan didn't go last, but he probably got the biggest cheers when he stepped up to the mic. You know, Ron Johnson is one of your victors of the 2010 waves, 2010 GOP wave, but, you know, he wasn't by any means like the, I guess for the portion that I was there, it was the Paul Ryan was the standout probably, but you had sort of a theme of the recall elections coming up, popping up in all the speeches too. And the theme of what happened at the Capitol, the protests coming up repeatedly in some of the speeches, including from Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate Majority Leader, who didn't exactly extend an olive branch to the protesters from February and March.
It's been a long time since I've been around this many people who weren't chanting and yelling, sometimes at me. And I also got to tell you, you all smell a lot better than that other crowd, too.
Well, he just said the protesters stink, didn't he?
He did, and, you know, plays well at a convention, maybe. Gives a little, I guess, a locker room speech, maybe, to pin up for the other side, though. And Fitzgerald went on to talk about the recall elections, saying that if activists, Republican activists, aren't paying attention, they could lose these seats, but that he's confident that they'll win. But he pointed out the stakes are pretty high there.
And right now, the state Senate has become the absolute bullseye nationwide because of the 6 Republican senators that are under recall. It's not something we anticipated, but we're going to work through it. And if I could be bold, on the other end of this, we're not only going to have 19 Republicans in the state Senate, but possibly 20.
So he's saying the high watermark for them would be to pick up a seat. In the election environment they're in right now and given the seats that are up, you know, that would be seen as a huge victory for them if they were able to pull that off.
Didn't Governor Walker also tell the crowd that that they ought to focus on these recall elections? He sounded like he might have been a little worried about it.
Governor Walker stressed it as much as anyone. And, you know, he got up there and basically said, at a time when you're considering who's going to be the next candidate for U.S. Senate, which the party is definitely talking amongst itself right now about who's going to be that person, he said, you need to focus all your attention for the next 2 months on these state Senate recall campaigns, because it's extremely important what happens there to, you know, not only the future of his agenda, the Republican agenda, Wisconsin, but he called it a battle of a battle for courage, that these are people that stood up for what they believed in, for his agenda, and, you know, that if they're able to be defeated, that, you know, that would send a strong message.
And if they are able to be defeated, that's going to stop the ball that's rolling in the GOP-controlled legislature.
It would grind it to a halt as soon as the Senate were to flip, if that were to happen. Divided government in Wisconsin, you know, we saw it just a few years ago. Not a whole lot gets done. I think it's probably fair to say that in the current climate, you know, the political climate around Wisconsin, if you had divided government, very little would get done, because it's pretty toxic there right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, Scott Fitzgerald and his brother Jeff Fitzgerald have all been mentioned, both have been mentioned as possible U.S. Senate candidates to run for the seat that's being opened by Herb Kohl's retirement. Did either of them say anything about this at the convention?
They did not. I mean, they didn't get up there and use their speeches to, you know, to talk about U.S. Senate. They talked about their legislative agendas. You did see, you know, some of the candidates, or one of the candidates that won the straw poll was floating around, Ted Kanivas, a former state senator. And, you know, he was talking to people about his interest in running for the seat. But Jeff Fitzgerald got up and talked about, you know, some of the agenda items that the GOP has accomplished so far. And whether I can't remember whether it was in his speech or another speech, but I think it's good to go to these. You know, when you go to these conventions, it's highly unscientific, but you get to see what gets the biggest applause line. So last year's GOP convention, the biggest applause lines were, got to kill that health care bill, we got to kill that high speed rail, which really, you know, really weren't mentioned in the speeches over the weekend. Some of the big applause lines over the weekend were for the governor's collective bargaining bill, very big applause line for the voter ID bill, and then Jeff Fitzgerald talked about something that the Joint Finance Committee voted on last week when he spoke.
And while we have focused on job creation and government reforms, we haven't forgotten our conservative values. This budget eliminates state funding for Planned Parenthood, because taxpayer dollars should not be going to the nation's largest abortion provider.
I'll say that got some applause.
Yeah, that's a big one. And the vote that the Finance Committee took last week basically said that if you're an organization, even though state funding, it's illegal to use state funding for abortions right now, the vote the Finance Committee took last week said that if you're an organization that, you know, provides abortion separately from, you know, what you do with this funding for things like, you know, cancer screening, et cetera, you can no longer receive this pot of money that we're voting on last week. And so they defunded a portion of Planned Parenthood's state funding.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. And we also will be talking more with the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Mark Jefferson, coming up after 7:30. We'll talk more with him about this straw poll that was taken at the convention. As Sean mentioned, Ted Kanivas was the top vote getter in that straw poll to run for U.S. Senate. And Bill Martin's just found on Ted Kanivas's blog this morning, responding to the straw poll results, obviously it is inspiring to come out ahead in a poll of the party's grassroots volunteers. I appreciate their vote of confidence. The Republican Party of Wisconsin is a strong, vibrant organization that had tremendous success in 2010. We will build upon that to beat back the recalls of our state senators, and we will make sure that Barack Obama does not win here, and we will elect a GOP senator in 2012. He is seriously, he goes on to say that he is seriously consider running. So Ted Kanivas might run. Did any Ron Johnson-like candidate emerge from the convention, Sean? You know, Ron Johnson was a little or unknown businessman before running and winning U.S. Senate.
Nobody like that for the U.S. Senate. Seat. And, you know, Ron Johnson sort of emerged from a different set of circumstances. It was summer of the election year, and the party basically didn't have a candidate at that point. Tommy Thompson had bowed out. Terrence Wall never really got traction and others last year. Right now, you've got a lot of names that are making it known that they're kind of interested. And so and it sounds like, and you don't know because Tommy Thompson has hinted that he's kind of interested in a lot of races over the last several years and hasn't ultimately run. But it seems like a strong sign from the Tommy camp that they're interested. And so that sort of puts everyone else's plans in limbo. Mark Newman, Jeff Fitzgerald, Scott Fitzgerald, Ted Kanivas are among those we're still mentioning for Republicans. I mean, among Democrats, Tammy Baldwin has sent some pretty strong signs that she's interested. You haven't heard too much from Ron Kind, Russ Feingold, or Kathleen Falk, but you have heard, you know, people associated with them saying it's something that they're watching. You have now heard Paul Ryan say he won't run for U.S. Senate, and you have heard Tom Barrett say, flattered to be mentioned, but he's not running.
Yeah, and we still think Tommy Thompson is interested, even though Club for Growth and some conservative Republicans are not praising him.
The National Club for Growth came out with a web ad, you know, highlighting Tommy's support for a version of, you know, President Obama's healthcare proposal, and then I imagine they will continue if Tommy has a Republican primary, if he were to run. And has a Republican primary, you can imagine that his opponent would highlight that repeatedly.
Well, we'll continue talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson as we talk about some of the bills that are moving through the state legislature and what happened last week. The final passage of the voter ID bill happened last week, among other things, and we'll get the lowdown on that. We welcome your questions for Sean as well at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be a cloudy day according to our forecast with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms with highs in the upper 50s to upper 60s in northern Wisconsin, getting into the 70s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson during this, our weekly state capitol report. Last week, Sean, final passage of voter ID. So this bill would require that Wisconsin voters present a photo ID at the polls before voting, or even if you want an absentee ballot. Is the governor going to sign that this week?
Yeah, he said almost immediately after its passage that he would be signing it, and he'll be signing it this Wednesday. And this is a debate that we've heard, you know, almost every session for the past decade, where it's at least been brought up, whether or not it passed the House of the legislature. Republicans have long wanted this bill, and basically this last week they finally got it. And you had a lengthy debate in the Senate on Tuesday, and then Senate came back on Thursday, where Republicans limited debate to an hour. Kind of a raucous end to the vote, as there has been to a few votes lately in the legislature where you have, you know, kind of a core group of protesters who remain there. And, you know, have had a very vocal presence at some of these votes. But in the debate, you heard some, you know, familiar arguments, familiar but impassioned arguments. Milwaukee Senate Democrat Spencer Coggs said that this is a bill that's going to affect everyone throughout Wisconsin, but it's going to have a particular effect on African Americans in his Milwaukee district. And he talked about, you know, while not calling directly any of his colleagues racist, he talked about there being two types of racism, and he referred to this as benign racism.
This bill kills the spirit, kills the will, and kills the resolve of an electorate who only wants to exercise its constitutional right to vote.
And the fear among, you know, Democrats, including Coggs, is that you have a number of people who don't have the photo IDs right now that they need to vote. And, you know, once they have this added requirement, they just won't. They won't vote, and that you will drive down turnout, particularly among some of the constituencies that currently support Democrats. Republican Senator Frank Lissay said that you have to remember that the bill does provide for IDs for people who don't have them. That is, if you don't have one right now, you can't afford it, you can go in and get a state-issued ID.
We've made provisions in this bill for them to be able to go to a DMV office. Granted, that could be a little inconvenient around the state from here to there. But if you plan your life, you can get one. And many, many people, nearly everyone already has one.
And so this plan, it passed the Senate, I think, on a 19-5 vote. You had a number of Democrats who didn't vote out of protest of the way the final vote was handled, where their debate was cut off after an hour. It's not the first time that's happened in the state Senate, but it rarely happens.
So the governor is scheduled to sign this on Wednesday. When does it take effect? When do we have to start showing photo ID at the polls?
Sponsors call it a soft implementation, where even voters in the upcoming recall elections in July, at least we think that they're going to be in July, depending on what happens through all this, you might have to show your ID, but you wouldn't be required to have the ID to vote. Also, voters in those recall elections will have had to have lived in their Senate districts or lived at their residence for 28 days to vote.
Yeah, and that's a change. It used to be 10.
That's new. Right now, it's 10, right? And it'll continue to be 10 for presidential elections, but for non-presidential elections, like the upcoming recall elections, you'll have to have lived in your district for longer.
Okay, so what else is going on this week besides the governor signing this into law?
He signed a few other bills this week also. One of the big ones is deregulation of the state's telecommunications industry, a bill that, you know, AT&T wanted. And basically it removes a lot of the PSC's, the Public Service Commission's, oversight over traditional telephone providers when it comes to what they charge for landlines and the type of quality that they have to have in their landline service.
And Democrats fear that this is going to be bad for consumers.
But not many Democrats.
Okay.
I mean, it was one of those huge bipartisan votes.
Okay.
And even though the Communications Workers of America, a union in this union year, if you're a Democrat, came out and said that we've supported this bill in other states, we don't like this bill because it's basically a big giveaway to the industry, didn't really sway a lot of Democrats who did end up supporting this plan. I think it passed on an 80 to 13 vote in the Assembly, a similarly large margin in the state Senate. So that's one that just sailed through, and the governor's going to sign this week.
Yeah. What's the latest on the recount, Sean? Is it officially over in the state Supreme Court race?
The recount, the actual physical counting of the ballots is over. And once Waukesha wrapped up its work, Justice David Prosser ended up with about a 7,000 vote margin over Joanne Kloppenburg, and a slightly smaller margin than they had before the recount, where he was up by about 7,300 votes, but still a significant margin nonetheless. And so the Government Accountability Board could sign off on that. I think they're going to sign off on that at their meeting today. And then the question that's sort of remains out there is, what will the Kloppenburg campaign do? They've talked about sort of anomalies that they've seen throughout the state, particularly in Waukesha. Will they then proceed to, you know, to challenge anything that happened in that election in court and, you know, leave the election further in limbo? Or will they say, okay, we're satisfied now? We don't know that yet.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that's on tap this week that you'll be following?
Just a lot of action in the Joint Finance Committee this week. I should mention also, the GAB Government Accountability Board is likely to sign off on the recall petitions for three Republican senators today at that same meeting. Senators Dan Kopanky, Randy Hopper, and Luther Olson. Staff has said that there are enough signatures to recall those senators and that they can move forward, but the board has to finally make that call, and that's likely to happen today after both sides present some arguments. But the Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Committee, is just sort of in high gear at this point. Excuse me. They've got 2 weeks left before they want to finish up the budget out of their committee, and so they're taking up a number of issues this week, including the Government Accountability Board. But they're also scheduled to take up, school funding, which they put off last week, medical assistance, wide range of topics over the next couple weeks.
All right, Sean, we will be listening for your reports all week long here on the Ideas Network and Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks,
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. We will talk about the Republican convention and the straw poll votes after the news.